If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun?
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but first rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Welcome to another special edition of Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you've joined me, Mitch Lawrence, Darren Bunch, Chris McEwen. All the podcasts we've done over the years are special to us. You got to know that. But especially so when we can talk about an experience that changes our perception of public golf and its possibilities for enjoyment and fun. And that is what we are going to do today. We're going to talk about just such a place. It's called Grass Clippings Rolling Hills in Tempe, Arizona, one of the more interesting names you'll find for a golf course. I had a chance to play it a few weeks ago with our good friend, great golf writer Tom Mackin, who lives in the Phoenix area, joined me at Clippings. I'm just going to call it Clippings. I think for our purposes, Clippings is the way to go. We had an unbelievably great afternoon. And Darren, we're going to be joined in a moment by Brian Bennett, who's the director of sales and events at Grass Clippings. And man, does he have a lot to talk about. You got to know Brian well in his prior life up at Gamble Sands.
Yeah, exactly. Brian was responsible for having us up a number of times. We hung out with David McClay Kidd up there. I've been up there quite a few times, and I was sad to see him leave Gamble, but of course he went to and landed in this amazing spot down in the desert, and it's been just seems like it's been a wild ride for him since he got there. You know, Brian, one of the first things we want to know is kind of your whole journey. You know, how'd you get through Gamble Sands and get all the way back down into the desert, which I assume is where you were from before, correct?
Yeah, so it was, I moved up to Washington and relocated to Gamble Sands from Phoenix. So it was a bit of a homecoming in many ways. And I was hoping to and looking forward to finishing the second golf course up there. But kind of life threw me a change of plans. And for a family move, I decided to relocate back to Arizona to be closer to some family. And it was kind of a personal choice and left for all the right reasons and certainly wasn't anything bad at the end there. So starting late last summer, I knew I was going to have to make the move, and I leaned on my Troon network and my Troon allies, and I was able to land here at Grass Clippings, and it has been an unbelievable joy ever since.
I want to jump in here because I think like most people, I was going to be in the Phoenix area. My wife and I were going to be visiting some friends. And Darren and I always kind of, if we're going somewhere, we might say any thoughts, places to play. I had played Mountain Shadows before with Tom Mackin, actually. And I loved Mountain Shadows. Different experience, great golf course, cool. And then Darren said Grass Clippings, which I just looked at those two words and I went, Grass Clippings? Okay. Golf course, or just am I supposed to look outside? And I'm sure there are a lot of people who haven't heard about it, unless they may have been in the Phoenix area. But it's really an interesting proposition to me when you have a project like this, and it's not the very beginning, but it's really early on. I mean, when I was there, you told me about the friends that were responsible for what Grass Clippings is. And obviously, we should mention that it's got 18 holes, fully great during the day. But the big thing and the big change is that it's lit for night play, and you can play all the par threes at night until, I think, what is it, midnight?
Yeah, we're currently open until midnight, and right. You hit it on the head there. The origin story is amazing. It was four lifelong friends from Arizona. They grew up around the game, grew up playing golf. One of our founders actually played professionally for about 4 years, and they just noticed that at everywhere they went, the local superintendent didn't really get the credit that they deserved and kind of the honor that they deserved. So they started a clothing line to support your local greenskeeper. They named it Grass Clippings, came up with a great tagline, Stay Grassy. and promoted that brand through local events here at Mountain Shadows. And they had such a good time promoting those events that through no fault of Mountain Shadows, they kind of said, hey, guys, turn the music down, getting a little kind of rowdy here. So the four founders decided to buy a golf course. And that's what started this whole thing. So they really wanted it to be lit from the beginning. They wanted a shorter course because they thought par three golf and shorter courses were the future. So it started about a 2-year quest to find a local property here in Phoenix. And Rolling Hills is about a 60-year-old property that has a great location right here by the airport, right near the Arizona State campus. And they were looking for some outside capital. So they took on an investment group and they started the proposal process. And the crazy thing is just this date last year, one calendar year ago, they didn't even have the keys yet. It wasn't approved. Nothing was guaranteed. It was about a 2-year RFP process to get that far. But we're coming up on our year anniversary now, and we've been riding a rocket ship ever since.
Okay, so this is stunning to me. A year ago, you didn't have the keys.
Confirmed. We actually didn't get the keys until July 1st. We weren't even approved to take ownership as of March of last year. So we haven't even come up on our year of actually having ownership of the property. And I should say it's a long-term lease with options to renew at the end. So it's still a municipal golf course. It's owned by the city of Tempe and managed by Grass Clippings with support from Troon Golf. We're a Troon facility.
All right. That really does blow me away. The fact that you've been able to not only get open and done. All right, let's take a step back. So people who haven't been there and don't really understand why this is such a special place, let's start with the actual golf course, if we can. I know there's a lot of people out there that when they hear short course or anything like that, they tend to think of it as something that's just kind of a, well, all right, we'll try it, we'll go, maybe it'll be fun. But those 18 holes present the challenge other than bombing drives. They present, especially the green complexes, which totally blew me away, but they present every challenge you want on a golf course. So talk to us about the course itself. And then I want you to tell us about the lights, which to me are an integral part of the story because it wasn't just like, let's put up some lights, guys.
Yeah, it's to point number one there, it's definitely not an easy golf course. The par three tee boxes range from 110 yards all the way up to 200 yards. So it plays as an executive length during the day with five par fours. And then at night, when we turn the lights on, we play all par threes. And I admit, when I first came here, I thought, well, this would be a great place for a four club challenge because it's a par three course. And then I got out here and I realized you hit almost every club in your bag. Other than your driver, it's a challenge. It presents a challenge both during the day and at night. Our superintendent came down from TPC Scottsdale. His name is Scott Hebert, and he's a legend. He's been great, and he resurfaced all the greens, resurfaced all the tees, and has been a great kind of leading the charge on the agronomy side of everything. So I think people are very pleasantly surprised, maybe/impressed. That with the conditions that they see when they get here. And I would say this candidly, we're just getting started. This was our first overseed. This was our first kind of Bermuda grass growing. So give Scott a couple more years and you're going to see this place improve over time. For the lights, there's 88 light poles here on property. They're brought in by Musco Lighting, which is the folks who did Sun Devil Stadium and a lot of the collegiate football stadiums across the country. So they're purpose built for golf. They're modern 2024 technology. They're LED lights. There's no concern with the planes flying overhead or anything like that. And I think people are very, again, surprised and impressed with how bright it really is. A common question around here is, do I need a glow ball? And the enthusiastic answer is no, you absolutely do not need a glow ball. Like I said, they're purpose built for golf. And on each tee box, there's actually a light that aims upward. So you see the bottom of the ball when you hit it up and you can track it all the way down. So it's not like we just took some soccer field lights and put them here. They're purpose built for golf and they're phenomenal.
That amazed me when you told me that. The lighting of the bottom of the golf ball. I mean, if you don't, I really walked around all day thinking how great it was and the attention to detail which, like you said, you're just getting started and there's so much detail already covered.
Yeah, there's four phases of construction. Number one was the golf course, the tees, the greens, and the lights, and that was done successfully. Phase two is a clubhouse renovation, so we're getting a brand new clubhouse. It still has the same bones, it's the same structure, but we're completely gutting it and starting over, and that's actually going to open April 1st, so that'll complete phase two. Phase three is the restaurant and outside patio area, which will get started here in probably the next 30 days. And then the final phase is an event space that includes a concert pavilion for up to 1,500 people, a big grass lawn where we're going to do farmers markets, and a lot of kind of things for the community that are not necessarily golf-based. We want people to view this as a community asset and almost like a park that they can come to, feel welcome to bring their families, bring their kids. They know they're going to have a good time. They know it's a casual golf experience, so it's welcome for everybody. There's no dress code. We do 10-minute spacing on tee times, so everybody has more than enough room to enjoy it on their own. And we've kind of curated this really great golf experience that's somewhat casual in presentation, but high-end in execution, actually.
It's a great segue, because when you're talking about the family and the community aspect of it, one of the most immediate things that I felt, I had no idea what to expect when I got there. Tom Mackin wasn't there yet. And I came up and I walked up to the bag drop area. And I wish I could remember their names to give them a shout out. But there was a fairly young guy and young girl there who were handling the carts and taking your bags and whatever, who were so great. And I don't mean in a forced, we've got to be nice to our customer way. I mean really just great to interact with. And that extended the entire time I was there. That feeling of the community that you're talking about is so evident. And you go up to the taco trucks, which I know Bunch probably wouldn't play golf because he'd just be there at the taco
truck. That's all I would be doing.
I know. But the experience there, and I talked to one of the women who was making tacos there, and she was unbelievable. The whole vibe of the place, Tom and I talked about it all day. The whole vibe of the place is so fantastic, Brian. And I know you're trying to make sure that keeps going, but you are so succeeding. It's not even funny.
Well, thank you for the kind words on that. The founders did a great job. And again, with Troon Golf helping us kind of gather the team together, we were able to cherry pick people from all over town and, you know, hiring the department heads first and then bringing in some of their key people. We were able to kind of, I don't want to say steal some people from other courses, but our chef in that taco truck, he was the head chef at Houston Steakhouse in Scottsdale, went over to Paradise Valley Country Club. And one of our founders is a member up there. And we were able to kind of steal the chef from Paradise Valley. So again, another example of somewhat casual presentation when it comes to a food truck, but extremely high end and informal in food. So we get no complaints. If anything, we get high fives all day long saying, man, that was the best taco I ever had. And our outside staff is led by a former lead from TPC Scottsdale. So she brings in a wealth of experience, a wealth of knowledge. And a lot of our staff, our guest service staff, came from either TPC or Paradise Valley, because that's where their bosses came from and they wanted to follow them. So if anything, it's a compliment to those leaders that came here that their former employees wanted to follow them wherever they went. And we're now benefiting from that.
I'll say that's for sure. Let's move on just to kind of what's going on. You said it's been a rocket ship. And I still can't believe that you said it was a year and you've already done what you did. But people may have missed, and I'm sorry if they did, but a real kind of shot in the arm exposure-wise, you are the director of sales and events. And the Good Good Desert Open event that was there right after Tom and I were there, I think it was a few days after Tom and I played it. You all of a sudden you get 3,000 plus people coming to a nighttime event. It was telecast. People could watch it, could see the interaction between players and the people who had come out to watch. Talk to us a little bit about the Good Good Desert Open. You've got League, the Grass League, which is mind-boggling in terms of what you're doing. Talk to us about some of those things and the future plans you've got going on.
Sure. That could be a whole separate podcast on the Grass League and what competitive par three golf looks like. So we open for play November 1st. We open for night golf December 1st. And since then, we've had anybody you can possibly think of, from Bob Does Sports to Johnny Manziel's out here playing in our Skins game every week. We had Steph Curry come out here. Steph Curry booked his own tee time. He actually called the golf shop and booked his own tee time and then showed up and played golf. So that's been one of the more fun parts of my job, has been as all the guys are coming through town, they want to stop by and see what's going on. And for lack of a better term, we're kind of the bright new shiny toy, relative to the lights, especially, that everybody wants to see what we got going on. And they walk out of here just smiling and high-fiving us. And for good, this is a testament to our relationship with Troon Golf and Chris Strauss in particular, who's a good friend and a good ally and a trusted partner. Troon Golf had a great relationship with good through other events at TPC TPC Sawgrass, the Westin Kierland here in Scottsdale. So they reached out to Troon and said, hey, we want to do a great event during the Phoenix Open. Chris Strauss and I have a great relationship. He reached out to me and said, how do we make it work? The CEO came out here, and it started as just kind of a generic golf outing with 120 players and a nice dinner and kind of just a boilerplate golf outing. The CEO, Matt Kendricks, came out here for a property tour, and he just was going to lay over and just stay here for a few hours and go home. He came out here. Chris and I played golf with him. About four holes into it, he said, forget this. We're not doing a golf outing. We're going to stream this live. I'm going to delay my flight. I'm going to fly to San Jose, California, and talk to YouTube, and we're going to stream this thing on YouTube Sports. And it started from this kind of small thing and grew into that. And the most unbelievable part of it was that it all happened within 30 days. So from the time that Matt was here until the time of the event, NBC Sports got involved. YouTube was involved. I parked 800 cars on the driving range. They had three semi-trucks in the parking lot for the live streaming, which was a massive production in itself. And it was just a ton of fun to be a part of something like that, to see how a conversation that starts with, you know, it'd be cool, that turns into something like that. And that's really how it all started. And we put it all together in 30 days. There was 105,000 concurrent streams. That was the peak. There was over 2 million views in less than 7 days. And the statistics just keep on growing. We have people walking to the golf shop every day. I'm here because I saw you on the good stream. It happens at least once a day, which is really cool.
Well, what's great for you guys was that because it happened in less than 30 days, you didn't have enough time to go, what are we, crazy?
Copy that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I was going to say, it's amazing too, Brian, how that stuff just spirals out of control in a good way. I remember, I believe it was somebody who was a Warriors fan was playing as well the day that Steph played, or the evening Steph played. And I saw a post, and then of course I immediately hopped on the text with you. You and I chat quite a bit. And I'm like, hey, I hear Steph Curry's out there. And from there on, it was just like blowing up everywhere. And all I could look at on I'm on a lot of Warriors Twitter as a Warriors fan, is just people talking about Steph playing golf all of a sudden. And grass clippings was everywhere. And it's just, I mean, it's the beauty of social media as opposed to, you know, the weirdness of social media sometime, that it can just take something and just light a fire to it for people to find out about things like this.
Yeah, I mean, at least once a day, I have somebody text me a link or send something from Bleacher Report, from Golf Digest, from just their feed that just says, man, you guys are everywhere. And we have probably the best digital team in the business. We have a full-time salaried videographer. We have editors. We have camera-ready superintendent, camera-ready directors of sales. I mean, everybody is happy, ready, and willing to jump in front of the camera and produce this content. And the public is just eating it up. We can't make it or distribute it fast enough.
Isn't that great? All right.
Well, I have the best job in golf. I say it every day.
I think the four of us believe that things happen for a reason. I know the other three well. I don't know you that well, but and it just seems like to go from some place like Gamble Sands, which to me would be an ideal spot to be in, because I love it so much. But to get this opportunity and to have the kind of excitement built around it and growing fast, I could see waking up every morning and not being able to wait to get to work. I really could.
Absolutely. Each day is honestly better than the last. And to the story before about the guys not being sure a year ago that this was going to work, I'm kind of in that same boat. A year ago, if you would have told me that on March 7th, 2024, that I'll be sitting here doing a podcast talking about grass clippings, I would have bet you any amount of money against it. I would have said, you're crazy. I'm here. This is the top 20 course in the United States, and kind of life changes and the path forward kind of shifts in front of you. And I was kind of up in the air for a little bit, and these guys made me feel like family, and I was welcomed with open arms. And it's been an absolute joy to work with our founders, our superintendents, our investment partners. I feel like I went from the best job in golf to now an even better job in golf. And they're two totally different properties, much different golf experience. Down here, I enjoy the casualness of it all. I mean, short course and par three has some connotations to it, but what I prefer to look at it as is more like a shorter time of golf than necessarily a shorter distance of golf. There's plenty of room in the golf space for a 3-hour round of golf versus a 5-hour round on a full length course. And let's be honest, with what people are charging for golf these days, there's room out there for some cost effective options that are a lot of fun. And Top Golf and Pop Stroke, they're cool. And we're kind of that bridge between those things and championship golf. And, you know, you kind of go to the driving range and that's fun. But if you want to be welcoming to everybody, you want to convert them to lifelong golfers. And I think that there's a gap there between Top Stroke and Top Golf and people actually taking up the game. And they can come here. They're welcomed with open arms. They don't have to go buy a new outfit to come play golf here. And we've had so many people come through the door here already that we're confident we are truly growing the game. We've hosted LPGA events where I hosted the LPGA Frozen Open, and we had about 86-year-old girls running around in Elsa dresses. We've hosted events for the superintendents. We had a big GCSAA conference in town, and we hosted two big events for them. You know, the good shootout, Steph Curry. Today we have a buyout for a local hospital. Tomorrow it's a big buyout for a technology company. We had the LA Dodgers buy out the place 2 weeks ago. Next week, the Angels are doing it. So I think we're on to something here.
Sure sounds
like it. Definitely. I think of it too, Brian, as a kind of the logical next extension of what you were doing at Gamble with Quicksands. These shorter rounds, you know, that there's so much room for that, like you said, in the game. And Quicksands is always this fantastic situation up there. For me, when I'm up at Gamble, you know, I can get in more golf, but I don't have to invest another 4.5 hours. You know, we're looking for that everywhere. Mitch and I and Chris are going to talk about other places that do this as lighted as well in a different time of the podcast. But it just really feels like you've taken the best of all these places that I've seen around the country and put them all into one just killer experience that you can play basically any time of the day, which to me is fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. That's a perfect way to describe it, Darren. I've been blessed to have been up there for almost 7 years and can take those lessons and take that experience down here with me. And Cass Gebbers and Clay Gebbers, kind of the owners of Gamble Sands, were down here and they played grass clippings with me. And I said, hey, guys, what's your biggest takeaway? And they said, we need to put lights on Quicksands. It was the first thing they said. So they don't need any longer days in June, July, and August. But in April and May and then September and October, it would be perfect. They've already got the speakers. They've already got the vibe. And if they build it, they will come. And if they turn the lights on, people will play later into the day. And here locally in Phoenix, we say we're 20 minutes from everywhere. We're right here by the airport and kind of the Arizona State campus.
And the zoo.
We share a border with the zoo. And so people can work a full day, They can come here after work. They can play 18 holes. They can play 9 holes. They can hit a bucket of balls. There's music playing. They don't feel like they have to go home and get changed before they do it. They can bring their kids. They can have some good tacos. It's just got a great vibe. And the parking lot is packed every single day. You know, since we opened for night golf the first week of December, we've been basically 100% sold out every single night. And our last 18-hole tee time at night is at 9 p.m. The lights go off at midnight. And pretty much every single night, we turn them off when the last group comes off. There hasn't really been an early night yet. So in the best way possible, I would say we're really on to something here. And the time that it takes to play the golf course is 3 hours, which is very doable for people. And I think anybody who has a preconceived notion or a thought about a par 3 course or a short course, come play this one. And when you walk off the golf course at night, you will feel like you played golf. You're not going to feel like you did a pitch and putt. You're not going to feel like it wasn't a great golf experience. You'll hit every club in your bag. You'll be challenged. You make a birdie out here and it feels pretty good.
You bet.
It rewards great shots. It doesn't penalize horrible shots. And we're hoping to really convert some people who might have been into golf to some lifelong fans here.
Well,
I'm coming in May, and I feel like I need to make my tee time now.
You probably should.
I was going to say, I'm going to be there in June. I'm going to get on the website right now. Because that place sounds like heaven. That sounds like absolute heaven.
If anybody wants to check it out, the website is grassclippingsaz.com. Again, grassclippingsaz.com. We take tee times up to 14 days into the future. I book groups up to the end of the golf season, which here is November. So if you have a group of 12 or more, you can come out here further than that. But for normal groups, foursomes, eightsomes, we go 14 days into the future. And people seriously wait at midnight. When we come into work the next day, there's 40, 50, 60 tee times that were booked overnight. So it's gotten to the point where folks are quite literally sitting there waiting to book their tee time at midnight just to get in.
Unbelievable. Well, on the not the flip side, but the additional side to this, it's obviously a great place. The concept is great. The execution has been unbelievably wonderful. And I have to say, and I know Darren feels this way too. I'm sure Chris does after listening to you. They couldn't have a better spokesman than you, Brian. I got to say that.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's an enthusiastic sell. It's not a performance.
I know. I wasn't implying it was a performance. I just think the right person at the right time in the right place is somehow you can't lose. It's just a target that's a bullseye. So we're really happy for all of you.
Well, thank you again for the kind words. The best part about Gamble Sands was that it was fun. You didn't lose a ball. It was an enjoyable golf experience, and it was in a once in a lifetime setting. David McClay Kidd put together an absolute masterpiece up there. And this isn't, I would say, better or worse. It's just different. There's room in golf for growth, and Gamble Sands has experienced that. We're experiencing it here. We're already looking at a second and third possible location. So we're really excited for what the future holds. And I was in a great position up there. And again, tribute to the True Network and the guys down here that for the icebreaker with these guys. And they actually had a relationship with David McClay Kidd because one of the founders' families is in development, and they were working with David on a course in Cabo. And in the final stage of my interview, which was a lengthy process, they were looking for the right people, and it wasn't anything I walked into by any means. And in my final sit down, one of the founders had said, "Hey," and David McClay Kidd says hello. And I said, "How's that?" And he said, "Well, I'm working with them." And I mentioned to him that you were interviewing for a job down here. He asked who it was. And when I said your name, David said, "Hire him. Whatever he's interviewing for, hire him. He was a big part of the success up here, and you guys will be much better off with him. And I hope you make the right choice and hire him." So the founders had said, "I don't know how we don't hire you after that." So I would also like to say a big tip of the cap to DMK up there and the relationship that we nurtured up there. It really benefited me down here. So I just want to say publicly thank you to him for that. And thank you again to the founders and owners here for welcoming me in like family.
Well, obviously, we know him to be one of the great guys in the game, and you know better than most because you wound up doing a whole lot with him. I would say all success going forward, but I almost feel like that's kind of a, you know, that's almost a given we don't take things for granted, but the way you guys are going and everything you're doing, and I'll leave you with this, Brian, I know you're busy and you got to get going. You are part of an historic podcast for us on Talking Golf Getaways. Not only Grass Clippings, which is now the only lit golf course in the state of Arizona, which is historic, I think, but for the first time ever in almost, 190 episodes or so, we are and have been for the last 45 minutes literally covering the entire United States because of you. We have four time zones, not three.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'm in Myrtle Beach, Eastern. Bunch is in Bakersfield, Pacific. Chris is in Chicago, Central. And for the next few days, at least, as far as I know, you're in the Phoenix area and currently, strangely, bizarrely, on Mountain Standard Time. So I wanted to congratulate you on being part of history.
Out of all the things I didn't, it's great to be a part of history and to write history with you guys. It's a joy. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. And I know we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you guys for your time. A big shout out to Darren and Mitch and all the guys. We appreciate you so much. And I'll sign off with our tagline and just say, stay grassy. We hope to see you at Grass Clippings, Arizona sometime soon.
Yep. Beat me to it, Brian. Deal. Thanks again, man.
Thanks. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Wow. I mean, wow.
There we go.
That place sounds amazing.
Well, it's like I said, guys, he is a great person to do it because he's so, and I think every one of them probably would be when you're that involved and have that much fun and have that much success, people are obviously buying into what's going on. And I can't stress highly enough this whole community aspect of it. Even during the day when Tom and I were there, the number of different ages of people that were experiencing that place was amazing to me. Truly amazing. Little kids all the way up to, shall we say, elderly people.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. There's so much, you know, we're such big proponents of community golf anyway. And these types of places that kind of reimagine it, yeah. You know, Winter Park Nine, Goat Hill, all these places. It's really something. It's the kind of thing I keep looking for here, you know, trying to find some place where I can go play for a couple hours as opposed to, you know, having to get out and play, you know, for 5 hours. And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, my only option, you know, somewhere like Bakersfield is to do it through a private club. I just wish I were in a bigger city that had these kinds of options that you could do.
Well, what's amazing to me, because we've both, you know, we had been talking about this before we started recording. Chris, you've played a 9-hole lit course in the Chicago area.
Yep.
I've played Angel Park in Vegas, as has Darren. Myrtle Beach has an executive lit course called Tupelo Bay, which is great. And the experience of nighttime golf and being able to go at the end of the day, especially if you live in a warm climate where it's cooler at night, and now these other places, it's hard for me to imagine, even in Bakersfield, Darren. I mean, there's a bunch of golfers in that city. It's not like there aren't people. It might not be Phoenix.
It would kill in the summer.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It seems so ripe. South Korea, strangely enough to know this, has over 120 lit golf courses in that country.
The Asian countries know how to do it.
Right.
Yeah, but they deal with it. They don't come to it, like we were saying, from a place of, well, this is kind of an extra thing. They go at it head on. And we have, from what I could gather, as of January of 24, 22 golf courses that are lit for night play.
Yeah.
In the States.
Well, you talk about the timing of it. There were two things. You mentioned the Cloud Nine at Angel Park and offline beforehand, we were talking about when I worked, long before I was in the golf business, when I worked in the newspaper business in Las Vegas, we would set up one night a week during the summer. We worked nights and we would set up one night a week where we would come in a little early or we would stay a little late so we could take a 2-hour lunch and roll over to Angel Park and play the Cloud Nine on our lunch break. basically in the middle of the evening. It was fantastic. There was another one, a Callaway Center had a lighted course in Las Vegas that was great, and it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. And then more recently, when Eric Hart and I went on our most recent trip to Cabot, and they built the Nest there, and it is just jam full of people in the evenings. You know, it is dark and people are out there playing under the lights. And when Brian was talking about the idea of taking that idea to Quicksands at Gamble Sands,
yep.
I mean, that would be heavenly. If I could play golf until midnight when I visit Gamble Sands, forget about it, man.
Yeah, and I think you're not the only one, though. That's the because these kinds of rounds don't take a lot out of you. Whether it's Quicksands or the Preserve or those kind of, I mean, Sandbox, I was having trouble walking around and I still walked Sandbox and had the time of my life, even though I was with you two guys.
Well, yeah. And the good point of that is, and I have this conversation with a friend a lot about the Cradle at Pinehurst.
Right.
I feel like the Cradle is more of a pitch and putt. I walk off it and I don't feel like I played golf necessarily.
True.
But the Sandbox or Quicksands or the Preserve at Bandon, and I'm sure now Grass Clippings, you walk off of those places and you got your fix.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You may still want more golf, but you don't feel like you got shortchanged in terms of your time and the shots you hit.
Yeah.
Those shots are all there. And that's the short golf that we're looking for. You know, we were that way at Goat Hill. Goat Hill Park. Yeah. You know, the day you and I played. It's a ton of par threes, but you feel like you're really getting – you know, you've gotten in a full day of golf when you've been out there,
yeah.
Even though you might be able to do it in 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful part. The other part of it to me is, and it's because I've aged somehow. I don't know how. But once you there, the percentage of really great golfers that need to play 600 yard par fives, and it's really small relative to the size of the population of golfers. And so these kinds of courses are, they're more than enough. They're more than enough to me most of the time. I'm not saying you give up the other courses, but I just think the whole thing is so incredibly smart. And I was so grateful to have the chance to play this place, Darren, after you had said it, and to be able to get on it. Now I realize how lucky we were to get on it, that we knew Brian, because we probably wouldn't have gotten on it.
Well, and I'm just so happy for Brian too, because, you know, he, like he said, he alluded to this, that it was a family decision for him to leave Gamble. He didn't want to leave Gamble. He loved it up there.
Yep.
But it was just circumstances brought him back to the desert, and to be able to find this, and the timing to work out just right. Like when he sent me the text that, oh, this is the new place I'm working, I kind of looked at it and went, well, that's interesting. I had no clue of what it would become. Right. And I don't think he did even at that point of how it would unfold the way it did. And, you know, you got to think about it from a short course standpoint now, because we love Mountain Shadows.
Yeah,
just I have an absolute blast at Mountain Shadows.
Yep,
and so great. Between Mountain Shadows and Grass Clippings, do I even need to go play 18-hole golf courses in the Phoenix Scottsdale area?
Yeah,
maybe not. Maybe I'll just go play short courses.
I don't think so. I really don't, because and the commonality, they're different landscapes. Grass Clippings is surrounded by the, I think they're called the Papago Buttes. So you get kind of that rocky view. Mountain Shadows is a whole different experience because you're at the foot of a mountain.
But you're there at the resort and you're all in the development and all that kind of thing. It's weaved through beautifully, but
yeah, no, it
but
is.
I can but see I, what you mean. It's completely different.
But it's also different in that, I mean, the common thing that it has with Grass Clippings is the green complexes at both places are mind-blowing. Mountain Shadows, that's why they play all those, you know, events at Mountain Shadows. These guys have skins games and they're PGA Tour players that live in the Phoenix area. They come to work on that part of their game. Grass Clippings, you can't imagine, given the short amount of time, how great the putting surfaces on every green were. Tom and I they're hard greens. They're not big slopey greens. They're really subtle, subtle greens. And for you to be able to putt on them and make putts, you got to really putt. It's not a putt-putt kind of place. So, you know, once you get that to your point, Darren, I think you walk off and you really do feel like, okay, I played some golf today. I had to come with some stuff. Yeah, and exactly. Given how great a putter you are, Darren, I think this would really challenge you.
It's funny, you know, you say this. You and I are going to St. George here in a few weeks. And well, first of all, we need to get our Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Drink.
We need to get him put lights on a golf course before we get there.
Clearly. That would be good. Do you think he can handle it?
But who knows? But the other thing is, you and I were joking the other day that we're both we both play these hybrid bags now. I played Rams Hill the other day, and I didn't go all hickories. I had this combination of I have a Peter Kessler perfect club, and I have some modern clubs, and I have some hickories in there. Just kind of this ragtag bag that I have done, and in that I have a TP Mills putter that I have had since back in the Fairways and Greens magazine days,
right?
That I got. And I've always been a very good putter with it, like no other putters. So once again, the past couple of days playing, somehow I found my putting stroke, and now I'm not the horrible putter that I'm known to be.
I get it. So I'm playing an old Louisville Golf putter with a wood insert in it that I love. So I'm right with you. It'll be mixed bags all around, Darren.
Yeah, no doubt.
So. In many ways. All right. Well, this was fun. I'm glad we got to talk to Brian. I'm glad I got to play grass clippings. You both are going to get out there in the next few months. And I know you're going to love it, too. You're going to really, really flip. So I guess that's it. You know,
at the top of the show, we skipped the whole thing of how to get a hold of us and all that stuff.
I did because my good friend Darren forgot what he had said 5 minutes before.
I jumped the gun to get my role.
You jumped the gun and the shark. You jumped everything. I was sitting here with my mouth open because you just went Gamble Sands, and I okay.
Let's dive in. Why not?
It's fine.
Brian had places to be.
All right. So you want me to tell people if they don't know where we are by now? I mean, really.
Guess that's true. We are well known. We are infamous.
We are. I could tell them, but they know. They can find us. Twitter, Instagram. And give Chris, I have to shout out, Darren, yes, you are always fantastic. Tobacco Road, you are the man behind the curtain. Although people say pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, I say pay attention to the man behind the curtain when it comes to Tobacco Road, because you're doing great stuff there. But Chris, I told him, and I won't give away his secret, but he's putting up so much great content on Instagram. So check that out at Chris McEwen, McEwen, Chris with a K. Me, just look around. You'll find me somewhere. Also, I did want to say this reminder, because people may not know it. You can find pretty much the entire library of 6 million Talking Golf Getaways podcasts we've done over on thegolfnewsnet.com. You just go there. You hit the link for GNN Radio. It airs 24/7. Some of the pods are on live during the week, or you can go on demand and you can find us and a lot of great friends of ours and their fantastic podcasts over there on thegolfnewsnet.com. So that's going to wrap it up, guys. All you out there, just remember, some friends had a dream out in Arizona, and now we can all enjoy the fruits of that dream at grass clippings. Hope you can run down your own dreams. And remember, as the scorecard at grass clippings and Brian Bennett's so gracefully say, stay grassy. So long for now.